This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we reflect on your words and the actions and words of your Son, may we not only see in this event the change that happens in Jesus, but the change that you make possible in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
And a special welcome to our communion class and their parents and extended family and friends who join us on this wonderful occasion. If you are unfamiliar with the Episcopal Church, we do believe that when we receive the blessed bread and wine, it is in some way the body and blood of Jesus. And any baptized Christian is welcome to receive in this church. For some of these children, due to their family tradition, this will be a first communion for them. For others, it will be a marking the moment as they have been receiving communion for some time. We leave that decision up to the family and the parents. But it becomes important for all children that we mark that moment, that we celebrate the fact that they are receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. And we congratulate you on having your children as a part of this program that we offer here at our church. Perhaps you have heard the story of this brilliant magician who was on an ocean liner. But every time he did an incredible trick, there was a parrot on that particular ocean liner whose cage was right next to the stage. And every time he did a trick, the parrot would say, "It's a trick, he's a phony." He'd do another trick, and the parrot would say, "It's a trick, he's a phony." Well, the ocean liner ends up having a collision. It sinks. And the magician ends up on the same lifeboat with that parrot. They're on opposite ends, staring at each other for days. On the third day, the parrot finally looks up at the magician and says, "Okay, what did you do with the ship?" St. Paul tells us today, in a very powerful way, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty." It's a great theme for this day. You know, the transfiguration, what happens with Jesus. Traditionally, we look upon this, and rightfully so, that this is wedged into Matthew's gospel right before Jesus is going to Jerusalem. And he knows what awaits him there. He's going to suffer. He's going to die. And this transfiguration becomes a way for his father to tell him, "Jesus, right on, you are my beloved son. You are doing the right thing." Similar to what happened when he was baptized in the Jordan by John. And at that baptism, the voice from heaven, because Jesus is now committing to his ministry on earth, and God says the same thing, "Right on, Jesus, you are my beloved son." That is very important for us. But why would Jesus take Peter, James, and John with him up that mountain, unless this transfiguration experience had something to do with the disciples and hence has something to do with us? It says, when we began the reading today, that 6 days after Peter had recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. But remember, in that same story, Peter is the one, when he starts hearing about suffering and death, tells Jesus, "We'll have none of that." And Jesus has to rebuke Peter. Maybe that's why Peter is a part of this. James and John. You remember the famous story about them, I'm sure. Jesus, assure that we will sit one at your right and one at your left when you come into your glory. Jesus takes them up there as well to understand that what he is about to do in his suffering, his faithfulness, and eventually in his death is what we too as disciples are called to do. This transfiguration has a lot to do with us. And I want to make a couple points in that regard today. Number one, it is not easy to go up the mountain. It takes effort. To be a disciple of Jesus takes effort. You know, if you've ever gone to the Holy Land, or if you've ever even hiked mountains, you know the experience you have where you think you see the peak, and you get up to a level and you discover it's a false peak, and there is further and further and further to go. It's not easy. It takes effort. But it is that effort, and within that effort, that we experience that mountaintop. And those mountaintop experiences are what are crucial for us. Now today, like last week, I have some advice for you. It's only two words, so you might want to write it down so you don't forget, just like Bob Newhart last week. And the words are these: just stop. Just stop. As we do here today, as we offer every Sunday in our churches, just stop every day to pause and to remember and to think about the things that really matter in our lives. These mountaintop experiences, like Jesus had, like Peter, James, and John had, were so that they would have the experience that would sustain them, that would carry them through the difficult days. This is why we come here. The Eucharist is that which sustains us, that gives us the strength as we come together as a group, sharing the difficulties, the joys, and the sorrows in our life, but above all, the faith that brings us together that really matters. In a sense, every Sunday is meant to be a mountaintop experience for us in that regard. You know, the Eucharist, we talk with the children about the bread. And the reason Jesus would have used bread as that symbol, not only because it was what was used in the Passover meal, but because bread is the basic substance, the food that sustains us. If you don't survive on anything else, you survive on bread and water. It's very funny because I was with Philip Rowland and Brian when Philip was in the hospital. And those of you not members of our church community, Philip, we found out, has juvenile diabetes. And while I was in the hospital, I asked Philip, what would you like us to pray for? And he looked at me like, why, you silly priest? He said, pray that I can be healed. So we prayed. And we prayed the Our Father. And we finished the Our Father, and we did the part about give us this day our daily bread. And we finished the prayer. We didn't skip a beat. And Philip says, hey, why are you praying for our daily bread? I can't eat bread. And I said, well, Philip, this is all about, you know, the symbolism of what sustains us and that. So he said, tomatoes. Give us today our daily tomatoes. I like tomatoes. It's about what sustains us. This is what sustains us. I would urge you today, if because of this communion event you are here today and you do not have a church home, I would challenge you, if this is really that important, this spiritual journey, commit to your faith walk. Go back to the church home to which you belong with a renewed commitment. Or if you do not have a church home, we would welcome you here. We're going to sing a song at the end of the service today that was written by the people of this congregation. Last week, we looked at the attributes of Jesus, those things about Jesus that are most important to us. And as we sing those words today, think of what that could mean to have that in your life. They're incredible words. And Jesus is all that to us and more. He invites us to go up to that mountaintop with him so that we too can be changed and transformed. And when we come down that mountain, it's not easy. But this is what sustains us. These experiences he gives us on a continual basis when we open our heart to him, that we might have the strength for the journey. May it be so for all of us. Amen.